Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, work-family balance, chapter 3, leave on time. And yes, you can do it. Here we go, folks. Well, we get a lot of questions, Wendy, on work-life balance. And we tell people, well, you know, it can't be done.
You can't. It's not like this family and there's work. And it's like the scales will never, ever balance.
Yeah, there's no balance, right? It's like family is a lot heavier than work.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like that always. But that is in fact true. And in return, people tell us that they can't possibly leave on time, right?
I mean, yeah. We're like, how can I spend more time with my family because it's far more important to me than work? And we say, well, leave on time. And they say, oh, I can't leave on time because like everybody else is still in the office. My boss will notice. I won't get my work done. There's like 100 reasons for why I can't leave on time.
That's right. So today we're going to talk about how to leave work on time. As exactly. Simple as that sounds, we'll help you do that. So what are our major bullets or points we're going to cover today?
First of all, you have to make a decision to leave on time. And second, you have to consider the risks. And then we're going to start you off easy.
Okay. I like the easy part. Can we skip to that? Okay. No. Okay. So we'll go to this whole making a decision thing. Man, it's amazing what happens when you make a decision.
Exactly. This is from a poem by Goethe, which I love. The moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. It's part of a much longer piece, but it's all about if you make the decision, then things around you, whether you believe in the universe or God or whatever it is you believe in, but things start to happen to help you.
Things move to help you once you make a decision. But there's a difference between making a decision and dreaming, right?
That's right.
Dreaming is not a decision.
If you're just sitting looking out the window like we did at school, waiting for the bell to ring and going, I really wish this lesson was over, nothing's going to happen. And if you say, you know, you're having an argument with your spouse and they say, leave on time, like come home on time at least one night this week. And you say, well, I'll try. You won't. You have to make the decision, because until you say, I've made a decision, your subconscious, the other parts of you don't believe you. They know it's just a dream, so they don't help you.
Right.
So you can do anything until you make a decision.
Yeah. If I tell my spouse, I'm going to try to make it home, even if I think for a second, I know I just lied, because I'm going to try. Trying means, well, if everything kind of falls together and my boss is like out from work because she's sick and none of my peers come and ask me questions, and you know, it's a Tuesday and the moon is a quarter full and it's, you know, Mars is aligned with Venus, then I'll come home on time, right? I know it's a lie. It's a lie, right? I mean, I wouldn't call it a lie, but it's a lie.
Yeah. So you're going to make some kind of decision. So when we do project management, we say by a date, someone will do something, which is a really simple way of describing an action. So in this case, we'd say on Wednesday, I will leave at 5 p.m. So you've got to pick a day and you've got to pick a time and you've got to make it real. So you write it on your calendar, you tell your spouse, whatever, you know, you post it on your front door so that when you leave the house in the morning, you think, that's right, I'm coming home at 5. And you take the post-it with you and stick it on your desk, because it's easy to forget and you want to make it as real as possible to make that decision.
Now, we're at Manager Tools here. You're not suggesting, Wendy, that you put something on your calendar that said, leave to go home, like at 5 o'clock. I mean, is that what you're suggesting?
I might write personal appointment just to remind me so that an alarm goes off, or I might set an alarm on my phone. If it was a paper calendar that nobody else could see, I might write it on my calendar. But yeah, don't write leave.
Right.
Because people could misconstrue that.
Right. So it might say blocked or, you know, something, folks. You can come up with something that sounds reasonable in your work environment. But the point is, it's on your calendar. It's people can't schedule a meeting with you because it's a meeting. You have a meeting with yourself.
Yeah.
Yourself with your spouse, for example. At least you're in the ballpark now, right? But you still have to make your appointment with yourself.
You do. And you have to, when people start now, you have this idea that you're going to leave at 5, you've made the decision, and then you still have to manage all those things that come up in the day that cause you to be late on other nights. So it might be that you get interrupted a lot. It might be that your boss drops work on you at the last minute. It might be that people always want meetings at 4:30.
Never.
Which would be crazy, but whatever. And so when those things come up during the day, or even in the days coming up, so if it's Monday and you decided on Wednesday is going to be your day, and somebody says, can you do a meeting at 4:30 on Wednesday? Say no.
Right.
Or say, that's difficult for me. Could you do 3:30? Exactly as if you would if you had a meeting with your boss at 5.
That's right. I mean, what you do, if somebody said, hey, can you meet at 4:30? I assume most of you listening, I'm making an assumption here. I could be wrong, but just make an assumption that you would actually look, pull your phone out or your laptop, and you look at your calendar and go like, oh, I don't have a meeting with my boss at 4:30, or I'm not otherwise engaged. And so if you had another meeting, like with your spouse, right, you'd say, hey, I can't do 4:30. How about 3:30? Or can we do it tomorrow at 9:30? Or I can come and work early tomorrow to do it, right? Yeah. But you look at your calendar. And the point is, it's on your calendar and you treat it like any other important meeting. Because if it's with your spouse, it is important.
And many people will be saying, but that one is the really, really important one, you know, and the boss's boss is going to be there. Okay. Then you can break your rule, but 99 times out of 100, I bet it's not that important. It's just a peer, or, you know, it's a couple of people getting together, and it can easily be done at a different time.
Right. Now, you could also head this thing off but at the pass by, if you're worried about your boss coming to you at the last minute, because she always does.
Right? She always like that.
Did you? Well, yeah. you used to have a boss like that, right?
Not anymore. I did used to.
You used to not? No, that never happens here. So if you're worried about that, you could actually be a little proactive about that, perhaps.
Yeah. So I after a while, when I worked out that she was a late afternoon person and everything was suddenly urgent at 4 o'clock, and I really don't like working at 4 o'clock, I would go up to her lunchtime and say, hey, is there anything you need doing this afternoon? And that would prompt her to maybe give it to me by 2, and so I could still leave at 5. Or you could say, you know, you could tell them at 9 o'clock, I need to leave at 5 today. Is there anything you need me to get done? If your hours are 8 till 5 or 9 to 5 or whatever they are, and leaving at 5 is reasonable, you're not leaving in the middle of what is your afternoon. You don't even have to give a reason. If you're entitled to leave at 5, then you don't have to give a reason. You can just say, I just need to leave at 5.
Right.
If you want compensation, if you want accommodation from your boss, then you might say, and they know your spouse, I promised Melinda I would be home today at 5.
Right. And it'd be the very cold-hearted boss that would not want to help you out with her, right? I mean, come
on. Exactly. Yeah, because most bosses have spouses and have had the same conversation, right?
Yeah, it's part of it, just training yourself not to just immediately say yes. And you'll find often you say, no, I can't meet at 5. I made a commitment to be home at 5. You'd be, you know, like 99 times out of 100, your boss will go like, okay, I understand that. Yeah, right? They've been exactly there. Now, I think the other thing that people got to get through their head is the idea that, like, if I just stay another hour, I'm going to get all my work done. Right? Like, no, just another couple of hours, I'll be done. All my desk will be clean.
Yeah, no, never going to happen. If you work in a call center and you only take calls while you're on, or you work processing orders or something, and you have a stack and the stack's done by the end of the day, then yes, if you stay another 10 minutes, that, you know, that last one will get done. But most of us don't work in that kind of environment. We work in an environment where there's, you know, Stephen Covey's four block of urgent and important, right? And the things, you know, the important things are the things that nearly always get left out, because we're doing the urgent and we leave things undone all the time. And the question to ask yourself is not, what do I want to get done? It's, what do I have to get done? If you say to yourself, okay, what thing must I get done today? The list gets really short really quickly. I don't have anything today that I have to do after I've recorded this cast. nothing has to be done. There's a lot I want to do and a lot I should do, but there's not anything I have to do.
Right. We have to do this because it's because due.
There's a deadline, right?
There's a deadline,
and
right.
We have to pass it to Paul and, you know, all okay. those things.
So you have one thing. So you have one thing you got to do.
Yeah.
Right? You do that. And are you suggesting then that once you get this podcast done, you're done for the day? Is that what you're saying to me?
I am not, because where I am, it's only 3:30.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Okay.
But we're at 5 o'clock. I could leave after I'd done this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, where I'm at, it's not 3:30. It's no. not. It's much
so,
later than
so
that.
So you can do that. You can be on for the day.
Yeah. Okay. So, folks, like you, I have 1,000 things I like to do and 100 things I should do. And I have one thing I must do today. Just one. Like this podcast is one of them. I actually have two things. I have two things, but I've already got the first one done, so yay! I'm good to go. So after recording this podcast, I am done with things I must do. Now, there's some things I like to do, but, you know, maybe, just maybe, as a way of setting an example, after this podcast and giving it to Paul, our audio engineer, to publish, maybe I'll stop work. Maybe.
Wow.
I'm thinking about it. Wait a minute. I'm thinking. I have just made a decision. After this cast, I get the stuff to Paul. I am done.
Good.
The world is a better place. Okay.
Excellent. We'll just not let Mark listen to this.
Yeah, I know exactly. Partner, like, dude, I'm working. Where are you? So, no, I'm taking off because Wendy said I have to go home. Okay. So point two, there are risks, right? We're not saying don't consider the risks. There are risks that need to be considered.
Yeah, there are risks. There's places where you have to work billable hours. There's places where desk hours are important. If you're in the early part of your career and you work on Wall Street, then yes, if you don't work 24 hours a day, you're probably not going to get far very quickly. But it tends to be in those early stages of your career where being present and working a lot of hours is important, and people tend to have more flexible jobs later on when they have families. So if you're still in that place where you absolutely, presenteeism, they call it, like being at your desk.
Is that a word? Is that a really word? Presenteeism?
Well, no, word says it's not, but I just said it is. But being present at your desk is more important in your company than being productive and effective. Then maybe you want to change roles, because I don't think sitting at my desk for 8 hours doodling is right. a good use of my time, whether the company thinks it is or not.
Yeah, probably not. And sometimes, folks, don't take this too far. I mean, there are periods of time where presenteeism happens, right, where it's important. Doesn't mean it's always important. It might be important for a short period of time. So take that into consideration.
If you're on a 3-year long project, you don't have to stay late every night for those 3 years. You might have to stay late for the month before it goes live, but not for the entire time, right?
Yeah, exactly. I just don't take her advice. Say, okay, it's a week before implementation. and Wendy said absenteeism is a bad thing. And so, you know, okay, or presenteeism, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So there's context there.
But a lot of us overestimate the need to be in early and to stay late, because our brains are wired to look at risk and then overestimate the risk because it keeps us safe. So right. If you look at a lion, your brain says, that's the worst thing and you should run very fast. But when you're in the office and it says, if you leave, your boss might be cross, then it equates that with a lion, which is just silly. So we magnify the risk, partly biologically, but also because we want to be needed. A lot of us want someone to come up to us and say, hey, I can only get this done if you do it for me, and to be wanted and to have special knowledge. So you have to be really sort of cold and rational when you think about the risk and think about leaving,
right,
rather than emotional.
Yeah. And the fact is, you can leave and the world is not going to end. The company's not going to go out of business. And it'll be fine. Everybody, it will be fine. As uncomfortable as that makes you feel, i.e. that the world could do without you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, apparently I'm not needed, right?
It's probably true. Okay. But it can be difficult. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm joking around a little bit here. This is in my professional life. This has been incredibly, incredibly hard for me. I'm the guy that people used to give me, ribbing about, sending emails at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I used to send emails at 3 o'clock in the morning all the time. And I was proud of it.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And I was sick. It was a sickness that you have to overcome. Okay. So you don't have to go cold turkey, right? So walk us through a way of starting easy in this regard.
So let's imagine you're not working until 3 a.m. Let's imagine that you're consistently leaving at 7:30 in the evening when your office hours end at 5. So you're like two and a half hours, and you go home and you have dinner and you're kind of half there, you're checking email until you go to bed. Suddenly leaving at 5 and not looking at your email all evening is an increase in the risk if you go from all to nothing.
It's not an increase in risk. It's impossible. It's impossible. Yeah, it can't be done. It can't be done. No, it can't be done. There's no way.
That idea of, I've been in a couple of security buildings recently where I'm not allowed to take my phone. And I have that absolute thing where it's like, where's my phone? I haven't checked my email. There's nothing on there. But, so instead of leaving at 5 and not looking at your email all night, just choose one day and leave at 6. So it's just an hour. And then tell yourself, I'm not going to look at email. I'm not going to answer the phone until 8. So there's a period of 2 hours where you're not going to read email. And if your phone rings, it's going to go to voicemail.
If it's
really hard for you, you can allow your boss's calls through. But I'll bet that nothing happens. No one notices.
So start small.
Yeah.
Like leave a 5 and not do email for 2 whole hours. I know. Cold sweats, fever. Exactly. It's like Ebola. It's just, I'm sorry. Okay. So
I think it's a little less catching. Then the next week, choose 2 days and leave at 6. And then mount it up 3, 4, 5 days until every day you're leaving at 6 and you're not looking at your email or answering the phone until 8. So every day there's a 2 hour period. And then you can either, extend the time that you're not looking at your phone after work, or you can begin leaving another half an hour early, or you can have maybe one day a week where you leave at 5 and you don't check your phone at all evening, and you go do something fun with your family. The easy steps are easy to predict or easy for us to tell you, but the harder steps, where you want to go with it, kind of depends on your family and your circumstances.
Yeah.
But you've got to start easy, because it's just as hard to do this as it is to run a marathon without any training.
Yeah, I used to work for the CFO at a very large, Fortune 500 company. And the woman I worked for, she was flipping awesome, just incredible talent. And she ran marathons, and she was like an iron, a triathlete. And there were days when she had to be home at 5 o'clock for her family and her children. And she left at 5 o'clock. And I tell you what, if she suffered, I can't see it. She's been incredibly successful. So I just always marveled at what she could do. And part of it was she made a decision. She was going to leave at 5 because her children and her husband were more important to her than work.
Yeah.
And she did it. And well, she was CFO and she's now CEO of another company. So I think she's doing okay.
She's doing okay.
Yeah.
Doing okay, exactly. And as long as you're still getting results and you're not losing your relationships, as long as you're still keeping up with the people that you need to keep up with, nobody is going to notice. They might rib you. Like you said, people ribbed you for sending emails at 3 a.m. They might rib you in the same way and say, you're leaving early again. Just laugh it off. It's just one of those, I have to say something. It's sometimes people just need the words of something to say.
Right.
In order to have a relationship.
Yeah.
And unless it's your boss calling you into the office and saying, we need a serious talk about the time you're leaving, then ignore it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a man, you know this already. But if you're a woman, then just use a little man logic. Unless your mates are giving you a bad time, they really don't love you. So the fact that they're giving you a bad time is a good thing, right? The guys you don't like are the ones you just like, you don't say anything, right? So you're good to go. That's pretty much it, right? Just
yeah.
make the decision, right? Just decide, cut off every other possibility other than the fact that you're going to leave and go home on time. Think about the risk. Don't be an idiot. All right. Think about the risk. They're much less than you think they are. Mm-hmm. And then if you're not good at this, just start easy. Start with an hour or 2 hours of not doing email one night a week. Then go to two and three. I know it just sounds impossible, right? But simple.
Yeah. It's much harder emotionally than it is practically for most of us. And if you work through the practical stuff of, okay, if I leave at five, these are the things I need to do. This is the one thing I must do on that day. Then that can give you the confidence that it will be okay if you leave on time. And if you struggle with that, just, you know, put a picture of your family up or put a picture of whatever it is you want to do when you get home or, you know, some comfy pajamas on your desk somewhere to be reminded, this is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm putting myself through this little bit of emotional pain to get the benefits.
Did you just say put some comfy pajamas on your desk? Is that what you said?
No, like a little picture. I was thinking, you know, like underneath your mouse or something. Just
okay. All right. I thought you said like just like bring your pajamas into work and stick them on your desk.
Yeah, not the actual pajamas. Okay. Although I do know someone who used to bring slippers to work.
Okay. Well, you had me on this podcast until you brought up the comfy pajamas. All right, Wendy. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
We'll see you later. Bye, everybody. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. Meantime, have a great one.